Something about summer and ghost stories. It just feels right, doesn't it? This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. It is sweet summertime here in America. In this episode, I have a spooky treat for you. Three true summertime ghost stories. Real people, real paranormal encounters. I am so excited for this episode. I can't wait for you to hear these stories. They are so good. Our first story. This is the beach house. I've only told this story a few times, not because I'm scared people won't believe me, though I'm sure some won't, but because I still don't know what to do with it. I find myself thinking about this incident quite often. It happened the summer I turned 15. My parents rented a beach house for a week in a small little town on the North Carolina coast. It wasn't a fancy place, kind of weathered, pale blue paint peeling off the sides, creaky porch steps. But it was right on the water, and that was all we cared about. There were five of us. Me, my parents, my 12-year-old brother Aaron, and my 4-year-old sister Lucy. Lucy was in that weirdly adorable phase, where she made up songs about everything, and carried a different stuffed animal each day like it was a celebrity guest. The beach house had this long hallway that ran past all the bedrooms and ended in the living room, which had sliding doors out to the deck. That first night, Lucy refused to sleep in the kid-style bunk room with Aaron. She said it was too cold, which was weird because the AC barely worked. But whatever, she slept in my parents' room with them. The next morning at breakfast, she said something that made my dad laugh, but made my mom and me look at each other. "He was watching us while we were sleeping," she said. Dad asked, "Who, Lucy? Me?" "No, the man in the hallway." My mom looked up from pouring coffee. "What man?" she asked. "The man with the black shoes." I remember the way Lucy said it, just like she was stating a fact. My mom asked her if she had a bad dream, but Lucy shook her head. "He doesn't blink," she said. "He stands by the door and watches." Aaron laughed at her and called her a weirdo, but I was thoroughly creeped out. Every day that week, Lucy brought him up again. She never said much, just little things. Once she pointed at the hallway and said, "That's where he walks at night." Another time she asked if he was going to eat dinner with us. I remember my mom tried to laugh it off, but I could tell she was uneasy. Me too. I was spooked. When I had to use the restroom at night, I would turn all the lights on. There was a strange energy to that house. On our last morning, we were packing up the car and Lucy was sitting on the steps in her pajamas, holding her stuffed giraffe. I remember how quiet she was. Usually she was talking nonstop, but that day she just watched the house. As we got in the car, my mom buckled her in and said, "You ready to go home, sweetie?" Lucy nodded, then said softly, "He's happy we're leaving." My mom froze. "Who is?" Lucy looked at the house and whispered, "The man in the hallway." We didn't talk about it on the drive home. After we got back, I asked my mom if she found that week unsettling. She paused, then admitted something that made my skin crawl. Every night, she'd wake up around 3 a.m. to the sound of footsteps in the hallway. Slow, soft steps, like someone pacing. She thought it was Aaron or me, but our doors were always closed. She didn't tell us because she didn't want to scare us, but I could tell it freaked her out. After that trip, I looked up the house online. I read it was owned by the same family for decades until it was sold to a rental company. There wasn't much information about the family that lived there, but I figured the man in the hallway must have lived in the house and maybe still saw it as his. Watching new visitors come and go every week. Does he not know he's deceased? Or does he just refuse to leave? Lucy doesn't remember much about that summer now. She's a bit older, and if I bring it up, she just shrugs. But sometimes when it's really late and the house is quiet, I think about the beach house. I wonder if he remembers us. The man who doesn't blink. One of the best things about kids is they have zero filter. They will tell you anything and everything they feel. And I love this kind of story where a kid is clearly seeing something and proceeds to freak the entire family out. Oh, so good. Have you ever had a youngster tell you something that just really creeped you out? Kids say the darndest things. And sometimes the spookiest. In our next story, we're getting even creepier. This is summer camp. When I was 9, I spent 2 weeks at a local summer camp where I live in Virginia. It was a kid's oasis. Old cabins, games and fun from sunup to sundown, and everyone knew the ghost stories before the end of the first night. The scariest one was about the Lantern Man. Supposedly, long before it was a camp, the land belonged to a strange old caretaker named Abel Hill. Story goes, he lived alone in an old shack in the woods and wandered the property with a lantern, talking to the trees like they were old friends. When the camp was built, he was forced out, but legend says he never really left. His ghost walks the perimeter at night with that same rusty lantern, making sure no one disturbs his property. It was said that if you were out past curfew, you might see the light moving through the trees. And if you saw it coming your way, run. If the Lantern Man caught you, you wouldn't live to tell the tale. It scared me, sure, but I never believed it. I figured it was just a creepy campfire story to keep kids from sneaking out after dark. I remember a girl in my cabin named Lily swore she saw him once. She said she woke up and saw a man with a lantern walking past our cabin window. She was adamant she saw him. But even at 9, I thought it was just a made-up story. I never saw the Lantern Man. Not that summer, at least. Fast forward 11 years. I was 20, home from college, and got a job at the summer camp as a counselor. The pay was pretty great, surprisingly. And at that time, my parents were doing renovations on our house, and I really didn't want to live in a construction zone. So I could spend the summer outside. Plus, I had great memories there. And when I got there, it was just as I remembered. Same cabins, same trails, even the same chipped canoes. It felt surreal being back, like stepping into a childhood memory. The first night, I took my group down to the fire pits for hot dogs and s'mores. During the welcome campfire, of course, the Lantern Man ghost story was told. As we were heading back, one of the kids in the group seemed scared and asked me if the Lantern Man story was true. I smiled and said, "I think it's just a story to keep kids in bed." A few days in, I started noticing little things. Nothing dramatic, just this feeling like someone was behind me when I walked the trails alone. I told myself it was just the woods, animals, maybe my own nerves. Then, this one night, I'd stayed late at the art cabin helping one of the kids finish a clay project. It was around midnight before I was done cleaning up. I locked up and started heading back to my cabin. I was by myself and got that strange feeling again, like I wasn't alone. I began to walk a bit faster back to the counselor cabin. That's when off in the distance, I noticed a flicker of light in the trees. It was past camp curfew. No one should be out, except possibly another counselor. And we were all easily identifiable as we wore bright yellow shirts. Now, this all happened quickly in the span of what couldn't have been more than 3 or 4 seconds. I stopped, squinted my eyes to see a soft orange glow swaying gently, like a flame behind old glass, like a lantern. Every hair on my body stood up. Through the trees, I saw an older man, or at least it seemed like the outline of a man. He was tall and thin, wearing a long coat and a hat with a wide brim. I couldn't make out his face, just the outline of him. He walked slowly and then disappeared behind a tree. Again, this was just a few seconds. I stood there, frozen, my heart racing, waiting to see if he would emerge on the other side of the tree. But he didn't. He was there 1 second, and then vanished before my very eyes. I ran back to my cabin. I didn't tell anyone what I saw, but asked around the next day. But no one claimed to be out that late. I asked if there were any older men working at the camp, and the oldest employee there was about 50 and a woman. A few nights later, I was fast asleep. It was around 1 a.m., and I woke up to one of the other camp counselors, Jane, frantically shaking me. She said, "I was outside on the phone with my boyfriend, and I think I saw him. The lantern man." And get this, she described exactly what I saw, what he looked like, in the exact same area in the tree line. Our encounters were nearly identical. I told her I saw him too a few nights back, and we were both stunned. I continued to look out for the lantern man the rest of the summer, but I never saw him again. The summer went by in a flash, and on one of the last nights of camp, after a big bonfire, one of my campers didn't come back from the bathrooms. Her name was Jenna, quiet, polite kid. I went looking for her and found her standing by the edge of the woods, pale and frozen. "I saw him," she whispered, clutching my arm. "He was watching me, the lantern man." I took her hand and walked her back, looking over my shoulder the whole way. I told her, "It's okay. It's gonna be okay." But truth be told, I was probably as scared as she was. That was the only summer I worked there. I have a young cousin that is supposed to be going there this summer, and I'm very interested to see if she comes back with any stories of seeing the Lantern Man. This experience definitely changed my view of urban legends, campfire stories. Maybe some of them are real. I bet the Lantern Man is still out there, walking the woods, watching over his property. So I guess you never know. Some of these urban legends might be real, or at least have a little bit of truth to them. If you love a good hotel haunting, you're gonna enjoy our next story. This is Room 316. I took the front desk job mostly for the paycheck. It was a quaint seaside hotel here in Florida, the kind of place older couples and families visited in the summer for a little ocean breeze and overpriced cocktails. We aren't a huge tourist city, thankfully, but we definitely get our fair share of guests in the busy months. The hotel itself was built sometime in the 1970s and had been updated numerous times since then. When I first started, I took the late shift from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., and most nights were uneventful. As I mentioned, the hotel was smaller, which I loved. It wasn't crazy like those massive high-rises. It's very charming. So my shifts consisted of a few key replacements, answering calls from guests about renting beach chairs for the following day, etc. All to the hum of the ocean in the background. Not bad. I would spend the nights endlessly scrolling and snacking. I had been there for about 3 months at this point, and it was one of the easiest jobs I had had. But one night, last July, things went sideways. It was around 2 a.m., I was halfway through a bag of chips when the desk phone rang. Line 1, room 314. I picked it up. "Front desk, how can I help you?" There was a pause on the other end, then a soft, elderly voice. "Hello. Yes, I'm in room 314 and I keep hearing noises. Thumping. Maybe furniture moving in the room next to mine." I told the woman I was sorry for the disturbance. I pulled up the system. Room 316 was listed as vacant. No check-in. No reservation. I asked her if she was sure it was coming from next door. The walls in the hotel were pretty thin. Maybe it was coming from upstairs. But she was certain. "No, it's coming from room 316. She said, "They keep waking me up. Someone's moving around in there. For hours." I apologized again, told her I'd look into it, then hung up and radioed Hank, one of our night shift custodians. He was on the fourth floor. "Hey, Hank," I said. Can you swing by room 316? Guest next door is reporting some weird noises. It's keeping her awake. Sure thing, he radioed back. That room's supposed to be empty. Just double check for me, I said. A few minutes later, Hank rang back saying 316 was empty. Door was locked, lights off, no one inside. All quiet. About 20 minutes later, the phone rang again. Room 320 this time. Front desk, I answered. Hi, came a man's voice, clearly annoyed. There's something going on in room 316. I hear banging. It's freaking my wife out. I banged on the door telling them to quiet down, and I heard someone inside, but they didn't answer. It's really irritating. It's so rude for this hour. Strange, I thought. I apologized to the man, telling him we would take care of it. Now at this point, there are two guests who are saying there's something going on in this room. I grabbed the master key and took the elevator up to the third floor, radioing Hank again along the way, asking him to meet me there. The elevator doors opened, and the third floor hallway was dim and quiet, what you'd expect at this hour. When I got to 316, I stood outside, listening and waiting for Hank. I stood there and stared at the door, getting an ominous feeling. And I heard it, shuffling on the other side of the door. And then a thud. Just like the guests had said, it did sound like someone was in there. I began to think that Hank had checked the wrong room earlier. Who could be in there? I heard the elevator doors open, and here comes Hank. I tell him I heard someone inside. He tells me he just checked and this room is empty. We knock on the door. No response. I took out the master key. The green light blinked. The door clicked open. We stepped inside. It was dark and empty. It made no sense. The air was ice cold. Colder than it had any right to be in July, and the silence was deafening. I flicked on the lights. The chair by the window was turned towards the bed, like someone had just been sitting in it, watching. Other than that, the room looked untouched. But the further we made it inside, the more I was convinced something was in there with us. It felt so eerie, so quiet. All we could hear was the faint crashing of the ocean waves out the small window on the other side of the room. We both looked at each other with confusion and shrugged. I just wanted to get out of there. I closed the door, my hands shaking. Back at the desk, I checked the guest log again. Room 316 had been vacant for 4 nights. No guests, no staff entries. Later that week, I asked the day manager, casually, if there was anything weird about that room. I told her about what had happened, and she gave me this long look and said, "Oh, that's been going on for as long as I can remember. We've had reports, complaints, mostly noises, always at night. Seems to ramp up during certain times of the year, then months of nothing." I asked her if there was anything that happened in that room. And she said there was a rumor two construction workers died in an accident on the third floor when building the hotel. And this happened near where room 316 sits. I still work at the hotel, like I said, but have switched to the day shift. I've had a few other strange occurrences with that room and the third floor in general. I find I'm on edge whenever I have to go up there, and I try to avoid room 316. Cleaning staff said the TV will turn on its own while they're in there cleaning. And just a few weeks back, I wasn't working at the time, but another front desk associate named Dave was. He said a guest that was staying in room 316 came down to the front desk, still in his pajamas in the middle of the night, demanding a new room. Dave, being professional, apologized and asked why, what happened. Was there something wrong with that room? The man didn't explain. He just said, "I don't like that room." Dave said the guest seemed scared and also kept looking over his shoulder. "It's always ice cold in that room in particular. I still get chills thinking about that night. As I mentioned, I work the day shift now, but sometimes I'll cover for nights. And when the phone rings late, and it's a guest from either side of that room, I already know what they're going to say.